Move over, Bruins. Make room for the Jayhawks. It's 13 straight for KU. Rock chalk it up. Conference title number 60.
It certainly means a lot to a lot of people, and I think fans probably appreciate it more now that we're here, that saw the video board after the game and how many players, good players, have come through this place that have played a big role in us having some success here. It was a special night. We played tied early, couldn't really get it going. Our big struggled early, and then Carlton had a great game, and the league came off, and in the second half, that's about as efficient as we can play. I thought we were good on both ends, out-rebounding by 13 in the second half, and then shot the ball a little bit better and certainly defended a lot better.
Well, there's three guarantees in this world today. One, death. Two, taxes. And three, KU winning the Big 12 title. Isn't that right, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks?
Hey, yeah, I think I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, I bet you have. Well, pretty exciting last night. Brian's appearance here every Thursday on our program, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5701. Well, let's just start with the easy part, and that is, how do you put 13 consecutive conference championships, and they're not all outright, some are shared, but still 13 straight conference championships in a Power 5 conference, how in the world can you put that into perspective?
Well, I think it's something where you have to almost take a look at who all they faced to truly appreciate just how difficult that is. I think there's been a lot of people from the East and West Coast that don't know the Big 12, don't see it every day, just assume because Kansas has won it for 13 straight years that it's been a down season for the Big 12. But then you think about some of the names that have come through this conference over the last 13 years, like Durant, Beasley, Griffin, Heald. These are just individual players. They were great teams that came through this conference as well. They competed for Elite Eights and Final Fours. And yet every year when the last Big 12 game was played, or in some cases like last night with 2 weeks to go, the Jayhawks are cutting down nets and raising trophies and finding a way to reload and rebuild. You go back to 2009 after they'd won the title the year before. They had to replace all five starters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take a look at this year's team with everything that has had to transpire and transform from a year ago when you lose the likes of Selden and Ellis and just some really impactful players. Frank Mason to take that next step to becoming a National Player of the Year candidate that nobody saw coming. For Josh Jackson to be everything that was advertised and maybe a whole lot more. For other players to come out of the woodwork like we've seen on this team. I mean, it's just been another great example of Bill Self's ability to continue to blend in the veteran talent while coaching up guys through player development and sprinkling in the one-and-doners or the highly touted blue chippers and getting it to all fit. Think about how many times he's had to mix and match and mesh and get personalities to buy in together, to get new faces to blend with the old that probably felt entitled to certain roles and get it to all click. To do this for 13 straight years, it's masterful, it's amazing, it's pretty special to be a part of it and get to tell these stories. And I think last night, the best part of it all, as you just heard Bill Self allude to on that clip, was looking at all the different faces of these 13 straight titles, all the great individuals, some of which, like Brandon Rush, will have their after jersey ceremony at some point. Others may never, but they'll know that they played an integral role too. And it's just pretty special because for Bill Self to be the one common denominator amidst all of that and to get all of it to fit together like a perfect puzzle piece for 13 straight years with no hiccup along the way, no year to reset and rebuild, it's all about reloading. To me, that's what makes it so special.
It was a special night. My son and I had a great time, and thanks again for taking us around a little bit, see the rules of basketball. I know he had a great time. I know I had a great time as well. And Brandon Rush's jersey being retired there, as you mentioned, and put into the rafters made it a special night. And then winning a share of a 13th straight conference championship, that too made it a very special night for KU fans last night at Allen Fieldhouse. Let me ask you this, because certainly when you see the 12 trophies presented that almost take the length of the entire floor, and then they present them with a 13th straight trophy last night there in Lawrence, it is terrific and tremendous for the University of Kansas. And if it happened for Oklahoma or any other team in this conference winning 13 in a row, that university is saying, this is awesome. But everybody else in the conference is saying, this is old. Somebody's got to knock these guys off. We don't even care who it is. Doesn't even have to be us. But somebody needs to knock off the Jayhawks from their perch. So here's the question I have for you, because I don't think it's an easy question to answer per se. I know how I feel, but I'd like to get your perspective. Is it good, or is it somewhat of a detriment to the Big 12 in regards to the national perception that one team wins 13 straight championships? Because some people may go, well, the Big 12 is good, and Kansas keeps winning it, so it can't be that good if you can win 13 in a row. Or when Kansas doesn't win the title, let's say it doesn't happen next year, and like Oklahoma comes out of nowhere to win it, all of a sudden people will go, well, Oklahoma won it, but KU's down. You get my point?
No, I do, and I have a perfect answer on that, because while I did spend 4 years working at Texas Tech at another school, and there were certainly parts of those 4 years where the Red Raiders were competing well, and my last season made it to an NCAA tournament, it wasn't one of those other perennial contender-type towns mm-hmm. that may be losing patience and having this whole Big 12 won by KU thing wearing thin. And yet, you know what, who really are those towns? Ames, because you look at Texas, their prominence over the last 13 years has certainly faded at times. You look at Oklahoma, who's had some great teams along the way, but also had down years like this one. That's what makes KU's reign so remarkable, is that everybody who's been a threat to the throne, everybody who's had that chance to, you know, line up the roster over 3 or 4 years and make their run at Kansas, eventually falls back and goes back to, if not middle of the pack, in some cases bottom seller. And so I don't know how many folks are actively, you know, tuning out because it's the same old story. Because really, you know, who's been the team that's been there every year competing with KU? Oklahoma State has had some great years along that stretch, but they've also been down and out with Travis Ford and fired their coach.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the rest of the Big 12 is tuning out and saying same old, but I do think that there's some unrest growing amongst the rest of the league. They like to come up with excuses, and you see the memes or the stuff on social media about Kansas getting an extra whistle here or there to help along the way. Hey, man, good teams make their own breaks, and Kansas has had great teams and players that force the issue and get the deep dribble drives that force a defense to make a play and sometimes forces the ref to blow a whistle. You know, I think that maybe if I see anything from around the rest of the league in terms of frustration over 13 years of dominance, it's that maybe they think Kansas gets hooked up sometimes. But you know what? Folks thought Jordan got hooked up with too many calls, but he earned his path to that. And I'm not trying to give any validity to some of those type things, but that's maybe the thing I probably hear the most, because I don't hear a collective fan base from the rest of the league saying, oh, I'm sick of this, because it's not like there's been another team that's been there close to it every year only to be left at the altar and robbed at the finish line, because they eventually fall back to the pack. And I think at some point you have to tip your cap and say, this is just amazing how they continue to stay at the tip of the top, the cream of the crop of the Big 12 Conference standings.
Brian Haney's appearance here on the Sports Ticket brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a call, 785-738-5701. Brian, I have a theory, and I'm interested in your thoughts on it. I've heard so much this year, people talking about how KU defensively isn't as good as they once were. Certainly the last 4 minutes of the last six, seven games that they've played, their defense has really buckled down and made big-time stops. And the one recently was what they did to Baylor on the road, where Baylor went without a field goal for the final 4.5 minutes, and Kansas rallied to win that game by two. But here's my theory, is that Kansas, because of the lack of depth that they have, and they can't afford Landon Lucas to be overly aggressive because you don't have three different posts you can bring in like past years for Bill Self, he's got to be a little bit careful. So was Frank Mason, Devontae Graham. Try to stay in front of the guys, but if they get by you, don't get a cheap foul. They get two, that's fine. We can live with it, especially here in the first half, because we're so good offensively, we can get it back. Now, my theory wouldn't work if Kansas wasn't a good offensive basketball team. And then once they get the first half out of the way, it seems to me that they're a little bit more aggressive in the second half, and especially late in games where they've kind of weathered the storm. Hopefully they didn't have a lot of foul trouble. If they did, they kind of mix and match a little bit, and then they can go out all out the last 4 or 5 minutes. Does that theory make any sense?
I think it definitely does. I think that we've heard Bill Self say as much in regards to Landon Lucas, that they've got to find a way to get him through the first 20 with less than two fouls, or at a maximum two fouls. And then after that, they can turn him loose a little bit, especially in the last 10 or 12 minutes of the second half. I think that's where they feel there's a little bit more comfort level to take some chances. Now, if the guy we saw in the number 15 jersey last night is the guy we're going to see the rest of the season, that changes the dynamic dramatically. I mean, that was the best we've seen Carlton Bragg play. That's what Kansas fans thought they were going to see for the last couple of years when he was ranked 14th overall coming out of high school. And, we said on the broadcast, like, man, who is this in this number 15 jersey? And we meant that with all due respect to Carlton, because we know what he's capable of. We just haven't seen it in games. I mean, there was one point where he was in such a groove they had to come all the way out to guard him on the perimeter, 22 feet from the bucket. And he shot faking on a three, taking two dribbles, spinning 12 feet from the bucket, and going right to the rim for a deuce. Now, I'm thinking, I haven't seen that anywhere outside of late night, going back to October, where he was just taking over and going for 18. I mean, he was playing with a free mind, with an aggressive drive, and an assertiveness that you just really haven't seen much. Now, we've seen him have a couple of nice games here and there where, he's gotten the seal on a deep catch and laid it in for a couple of buckets, cleaned up the mess on some garbage stick-back dunks. But, I mean, he last night was calling for the ball on one end and rejecting the ball on the other. He had three blocks, seven rebounds. I mean, this is a terrific performance. And so I think that will allow Kansas, if they can somehow bottle that up and count on that consistently, and let's obviously see it a few more times before we start to chalk it up as a regular thing from him. I think that will allow Bill Self to play Landon a little less, to rest him a little more and keep him fresher, and also not have the foul trouble risk. And maybe that gives you a little bit more backline protection defensively, because you're right, there's certain chances you can't take when you don't have that type of big man depth. And obviously none of these guys is going to be a Jeff Withey-like shot blocker who's just going after everything close to the rim. But you probably could take a few more chances if you felt like you had more depth. And maybe that's slowly starting to emerge. But, again, we won't get too far out in front of our skis here after one game. But I do think that was clearly what the doctor ordered and what we wanted to see out of him for a while. And, man, I mean, that's almost like getting a whole new player.
Yeah.
Just in time for the stretch run, if we could continue to see that out of him. Because we've not seen anything close to that. I mean, you could point at the Siena game, but come on, that's Siena.
Yeah.
That's like November basketball here. To do that in a league game, I mean, my goodness. And that's exactly what this Kansas club could use heading down the stretch. I think Josh Jackson is a completely different player in terms of the well-roundedness of his game to the one that started the year. And he was really good to start the year. But that's what makes you so excited about this Kansas team. When you've got a team with a guy like Josh Jackson, who's one of your top two players, who literally his metamorphosis is gaining by the week, it makes your ceiling as a team go up by the week. And then when you add in a new-look Carlton Bragg, if we could call it that, again, I don't want to get in front of ourselves, boy, that's kind of exciting. Like I said, that's like, the free agent or the NBA trade deadline is today. For those that are fans of the association, that's like making a deal at the deadline. If you can get that same guy that played out there last night to play over the next 12 games or so, holy smokes, you might have some.
Yeah, no question. That would be a boost down the stretch run. I want to talk about Josh Jackson for a moment. It's interesting. Andrew Wiggins came in with tons of hype a few years ago, and Josh Jackson came in with some hype, but not as much. I think some fans were a little reserved because, Wiggins maybe didn't live up to the unreal expectations some people had for him. To me, Josh Jackson has done more for Kansas this year than Andrew Wiggins did in his year with Kansas. And what I mean by that is not to put down Andrew Wiggins. I mean, he's a terrific talent. There's no question. But Josh Jackson, to me, is just a more complete player that I see, at least at the college level. And last night was another example in the Baylor game too. I mean, that pass that Mason made to Jackson, I expected him to, you know, just jump up and slam it with two hands or maybe get fouled. He tomahawked that thing. Just boom, just jump and boom, tomahawked it. I jumped out of my seat watching that. I could not believe it. Like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then last night, you know, he sprains the ankle, he comes back, and yeah, he has 15 points. Yes, he has 11 rebounds. But what impressed me the most about him last night, Brian, was his passing. I mean, some of the his vision is tremendous. He's a distributor of the basketball. He's kind of a point forward in some cases. He made a left-handed hook pass to Bragg on the money, the alley-oop to LeGerald Vick. I mean, he's just he has all the tools.
I think you're right on par and right on cue with that, because I talked to Bill Self for his TV show about 10 o'clock last night. We're taping it for tonight, and that was the thing that stood out to him. I mean, you could point to the points and the rebounds, the fact that that's his sixth double-double in his last eight games, his 10th overall of the year. But to have the vision that you mentioned, the delivery of these passes, and the way he rifles the ball in there right on the money, and also the selflessness to do that so frequently. So many guys that come in with the type of blue chip status that he carried, they're out to get there. And yet, he is such a complete player. And I know that we've had Coach shy away from some of the comparisons early in the year, not wanting to pick one player over the other and that sort of thing. But I don't think there's much debate at this point. When you look at every statistical category, I think in terms of points per game, Wiggins has less than 1 point of an edge. And maybe there's a couple of shooting percentage categories that might compare favorably. But overall, now that you've got Josh shooting about 36% from downtown, and now that you've got categories like blocks and steals and assists that throughout the year have favored him, but now favor him even more so with what we've seen in recent weeks, I mean, it's a hands-down Josh Jackson edge to me if you compare the two, you know, potential number one, number two overall draft picks. And, you know, he may not be the prolific scorer at the NBA level that Wiggins has turned into just three seasons in. I mean, this is a guy that's going for 22 a game. But then again, why couldn't he be? If he's doing this already, his first season at Kansas, I just feel like, as you said, he's a more complete player. I think there's an extra degree of assertiveness with him that, you know, certainly Wiggins has some of that. But Josh, he thinks he's the baddest dude on the floor, and it's, give me the ball, get out of my way, and yet not so much so that he's definitely going to shoot it. I mean, he may drive you, suck in two or three guys on the help defense, and then throw a no-look pass right on the money to the open man for a three in the corner. He gives you everything. And I think, to me, that's why he's the most complete player we've seen. I think he's the most special player in terms of the overall skill set and ceiling of what he could become at his position in Bill Self's tenure. You might say Embiid has a bigger overall ceiling because for a big man to have the basketball mind and the ability to pick things up so quickly and learn them, there's special things he can do that not many do. I mean, he was kind of a once-in-a-generational guy. But I think that Josh is right there with him and is maybe a guy with as big a ceiling as any that Bill Self has ever had. And when you look at the contribution from Jackson, he might go down as Self's best, you know, one-year player in his tenure, a tenure we hope lasts 25 seasons.
Last question before we get to our off-the-wall question for you, Brian, and that is Kansas. You get the 13th in a row. You can go get it outright for sure at Texas, but you also know you got a home game against Oklahoma, which maybe would make it sweeter when you clinch outright at home. Although if certain teams lose this weekend and Kansas loses, they may still clinch it outright. How does KU approach and go into Texas? You would think there'd be a bit of an emotional letdown, and Texas is really struggling, but at the same time, this team seems to be built a little bit differently than some other teams.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think Coach Self, when I asked him about this last night, saying, do you have to worry about a potentially flat effort when it's a little anticlimactic at this point, or because there's such a veteran team with Frank and Devontae and those guys leading them, is that something you're less concerned with? And he said, you know, honestly, there could be some of that. But, you know, he feels like these guys take a lot of pride in the fact that they want to win it outright, clinch it themselves, not having, you know, backdoored into it with the other teams losing that you just alluded to, Iowa State, West Virginia, and Baylor. They also are continuing to play for a seed. You know, they really want to stay at home, Tulsa, and then Kansas City in the NCAA tournament should they make it that far. And so I know Villanova lost. They're going to move up to number two in the polls. But you better believe he's still telling these guys, don't you take anything for granted. It's not just assured at this point that we're going to be in the Kansas City region as a top seed there just because we've locked up 13 straight. So I think there's a lot of pride with these guys. And it's not one of those deals where, you know, some seasons folks have said, well, they won the regular season Big 12 title. There's probably no motivation for them to go to Kansas City and win there. They probably would just as soon, you know, have a couple extra days off to rest their legs. That's not this team. That's not Frank Mason. If they're going to take the floor and put on that uniform, they're going to take the floor to win. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to play great every night. And there might be some efforts where you think it looks flat between now and Selection Sunday. But there's certainly a pride factor there that makes me believe this team could win its next six games before the brackets come out, including three in the Big 12 tournament. But obviously, you still got a trip to Stillwater and Austin and all that, so we won't count our Jayhawks before they hatch. But I do think that there's definitely going to be plenty of motivation to keep on striving for improving the overall effort and enhancing that overall resume to ensure they have the optimal path to Phoenix.
Time for an off-the-wall question, Brian. Last week we asked you about your favorite mascot. Now I'm going to ask you your favorite number, but you can't use the number 13 because, to me, that would be a popular number. A lot of people say that's an unlucky number, but for KU it's very lucky. And you can't use the number 16,300 for the sellout crowd at Kansas because I figure those are two that might come to your head right off the top. So I'm challenging you. What is your favorite number? Because for KU fans right now, 13 would be their favorite number.
Man, no kidding. Well, my lucky number has always been 3. I was born on June the 3rd, so that was a number I wore when I played sports as a kid. And we've had some good 3s over the years. Downtown Terry Brown comes to mind. Sam Cunliffe's going to wear it next for KU, the transfer from Arizona State. But if you're asking favorite number in terms of Jayhawks, and there's some great numbers now. I mean, think about the number 4, for example, with Sharon Collins, Nick Collison, Ryan Robertson, Devontae Graham, a lot of guys that have been great Jayhawks have worn that one. 15's a special one for me. You know, when you talk about Bud Stallworth, JoJo White, and then obviously Mario Chalmers. And then you look at 25. We just see a raise of the rafters last night. Most famous 25 ever is Danny Manning. But, favorite Jayhawk of Bill Self, not named Tyler Self, might just be Brandon Rush. So I want one of 3 Hawks to wear that prominently. So there's a lot of great numbers, but I guess personally for me, it's the number 3 just based on my birth date and the prolific YMCA and Knights of Columbus career I had wearing that number in the capital city of Topeka.
And you were a vaunted 3-point shooter probably, so that's why.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely. It was at least 32%.
Oh, at least. Haney filling it up at the local YMCA. I like it.
I will say, this is a true story. You were telling me that your son Miller is going to state in the free throw competition, which is exciting. Because I was the 1991 Elks Club free throw champion of Topeka. And I don't say that braggadociously. I only say that because I now consider myself, in rare air if, Miller Gerstner is a guy that's also en route to potential state championships. I went to state, hit 23 out of 25 as an 11-year-old, and I lost.
Uh-huh.
23 out of 25,
uh-huh.
It wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Dang it. So I wish your son Miller all the best in his quest for something that I could not pull off back in the day when the Elks Club used to sponsor it. I guess it's is it Knights of Columbus?
It's
is that what you told me?
Knights of Columbus, and I want to make sure before my son becomes famous that I correct you on something. And it was really loud when I introduced you to him there on the floor at the time. It was pretty hard to hear, but his first name's Noah. His first name is Noah.
Man, yeah. Maybe I had beer on the brain. I was thinking Miller time, man. How does Miller and Noah? Those don't sound similar at all. I apologize.
Oh no,
it
you're
was
fine.
Really loud.
No, you're.
I could have sworn you said it was Miller time.
No.
My apologies.
You were thinking about celebrating 13 straight championships, and you're thinking Miller time. And that's fine. It was funny because we were up there at the rules, and we got done, and my son Noah goes. He goes, he's a really nice guy. He goes, but I think he thinks my name's Miller. And I said, what? Because I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah.
And then when you said it here today, I was like, oh, well, he hears better than I do, but he's younger and I'm older. So, but yeah, but he's going to the state free throw competition and he made 24 last time. But you're right. I mean, you get to the state level, 23, you might make 24 or make all 25. You might have to go to a shoot-off. It's pretty cool, but a lot of pressure, wasn't it?
Well, it is a lot of pressure, but congrats to Noah on his amazing round there of qualifying, and hopefully he makes it all the way to a state title. My apologies. I'm going to get my ears checked.
Oh, you're good,
you know,
man.
25 years of wearing headsets. I know you can empathize with some of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, good luck to Noah, and I can't wait to hear how that goes.
Hey, man, thanks again for all the hospitality. We really appreciate it. You're the best, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, buddy. See you, Wade.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks here on the Sports Ticket. And his appearance is brought to you each week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.